music. And God has gifted some to be able to do it easier, seemingly, with a touch than others. And I love the Dixon family. And always, always, ain't they a blessing? I'll tell you, I just love them, Brother Jared, Jennifer, and Kristen, and Ashlyn, and all the babies, and they keep growing and everything. And I appreciate them very much. I'd like to say thank you for allowing me to be here. And my dad. Dad's here on this trip. And I appreciate Dad being able to be here. And when I'm down here and he's not here, many of you ask about him, how he's doing. So y'all can ask him tonight how he's doing. But if you want to know the truth, ask me. I'll tell you. And but no, I love Dad, and we've had a good time this week. Thank you, preacher, for the fellowship and the place to stay. And enjoy being around Brother Donald, and love him. We all just like family. It's been good to see all the preachers that's been in this week. I enjoy Brother Bearfield. It's been good to see Brother Tybert again, and Brother Tim Roberts here tonight. Love him and his wife. Glad y'all are here also. Appreciate all of you. And Brother Mike, I appreciate you and serving here at Liberty. And everywhere I go, when somebody mentions an assistant pastor, there's two that I think of, my own and Brother Mike. And this church is blessed, first of all, with a fine man of God. And you are. You're blessed with him. And I know the Lord's using him, and you got to share him sometimes. And that's hard, to share your blessings. But thank you, Liberty, for letting other people be blessed by the ministry of your pastor. And it's a God thing. And Brother Mike, thank you for keeping things in order while he's gone and serving here. And y'all just got a great church. You got a lot to be thankful for. And I've never been here in this building what I didn't feel the presence of God. And Brother CC, Miss Renee, Megan, Macy, Jason, all of you, love y'all. And if nothing else good happens out of this whole trip, I got hugged last night 3 times by Miss Sailor Reese. My trip's complete if God don't do nothing. And Miss Sophie, I'm sorry. And Miss Sophie and Miss Livy, I got to get them all in there. And Parker James, I think, hit me in the side. So it's been a good trip. Mark chapter number 4, if you will, tonight, please. I'd appreciate it. And if you'd like to stand, that's fine. If not, that's fine, too. I understand. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture out of Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to read one verse of Scripture out of Mark, chapter number 5. In chapter number 4, I will read verse number 35. And in chapter number 5, I will read verse number 1. The Bible says in Mark, chapter number 4, verse number 35, the Bible says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Now chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says in Mark 5:1, it says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes." You can be seated tonight. There's one thing that had to take place in verse number 35 of chapter 4 before verse 1 of chapter number 5 could ever happen. There's one thing. A lot of times, and we believe, I know this church believes, I know your pastor believes, And anybody that believes the Bible and believes in the God of the Bible believes in the sovereignty of God. It is a word that scares many people because it puts God in control of all things and it makes man real little. However, in that theology, a lot of times people will get carried away into the fact that man does not have any responsibility at all. That is where they have been misled and are wrong doctrinally. Man does have a responsibility, though God is not limited to the confines of man's responsibility. God does not operate because we operate. God operates because He wants to. But in chapter 4, verse number 35, something had to happen before they could ever get to chapter 5 and verse number 1. And that was when Jesus said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." The one thing that they were responsible for was making sure that when that boat left the dock, that they was on the inside of the boat. Man's got one responsibility. And the big picture of the Bible is Jesus is saying this, "Let us." Notice He didn't call no names. That is a universal call and invitation to all man. That if you want to go to the other side, you can. You've got an invitation to leave the bank and head to chapter number 5. But friend, you've got a responsibility just like every other man does. If you're going to go to the other side, you've got to get in. If you're going to go over, but there's a lot of people that thinks they're going to go over, but they ain't never got in. And that is kind of where we are today. A lot of people want to go to the other side. A lot of people want to get out of chapter number 4. But they don't want to do what is necessary to get to chapter number 5. And can I tell you, there's a lot of stuff that takes place from the time they get in till the time they get over there. And can I say, just because you got in this thing, it don't mean it's going to be fair weather and good sailing along the trip. I can promise you, if you've got in the boat, you're going to experience some storms and some rough water and some hard times. Oh, but you can rest assured of one thing, that just as sure as He said, "Let us pass over." If you're in the boat, regardless of what happens, you can bank on this, that they that are on board the ship are going to reach the other side. You're going to make it. Some of y'all right now, you might be stuck in chapter 4. And you're in. But you're caught in the storm. I've preached many messages on that. Matter of fact, I preached one here on when you can't take no more. Some of y'all might be living that right now. You might be at that part to where you don't think you can take any more. And you're stuck in chapter 4 and you're wondering if chapter 5. You see, there's different chapters in all of our lives. And chapter 4 ain't the end. Though it looks like it's the end. No, you got it. And by the way, chapter 5 ain't the end neither. Can I go ahead and say chapter 5 is really just the beginning? You see, in chapter number 4, y'all bear with me, we're going to get somewhere a little bit, good Lord willing. As long as the waves don't get too high and we don't take on too much water, we'll be all right. But in chapter number 4, those of you that know biblical numerology, the number 4 is the number of the earth, or the world, or earthly things. In chapter number 5 is the number of what? It's the number of grace or divine favor. Am I right? Aren't you glad that Jesus was saying in chapter number 4 that there's coming a day that we that are on board are going to leave this earthly outfit and we heading to a divine place over yonder? I'm glad the other side wasn't in chapter 4, but the other side is in chapter 5. I'm glad there's an eternal place that Jesus is taking His people where we can enjoy divine grace from now on. Amen. You say, preacher, you mean chapter 5 is a picture of heaven? Yeah, it is. You'll find some pictures. Y'all see that right there? That's what happens when you get a little older and I despise them. I picked on kids in schools and called them four eyes and everything else, but I got to wear them now so you reap what you sow. There's several things that take place in chapter number 5 that got my attention and it reminds me of the other side. And rightfully so. What if I told you in verse number 1 of chapter 5 it says, "And they came over into the other country or the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes." I was looking up today on my concordance and my dictionary. And that word Gadarenes, you can go home and check it out behind me. The word Gadarenes in the Greek means a surrounding or a wall. That was nothing more than me inside of my soul, Brother Ken, there was a tug. That told me, yeah, that's right. On the other side, when we get to heaven, I've read Revelation where it says we're going to a place where there's walls 1,500 foot high and it's a city. It's surrounded. It's a picture of a protected place, friend. I'm glad we headed over to the other side. Let me share with you some things I see there. Number 1, in chapter number 5, and this ain't my message. In chapter number 5, it reminds me of heaven because on the other side in this chapter, you'll see, first of all, that this was a place where the devils was choked. If you remember in first part of chapter 5, verse 1 through 17, this is where the maniac of Gadara was. And y'all remember he was up there and he was full of devils. His name was Legion and he was cutting himself and screaming at night. And he would be up there hollering and yelling and making all these noises. Nobody could tame him. The Bible talked about that, but I preach another message on. I know a man that can and I'm glad I do. But he ran into Jesus and them legions, when Jesus come up, they started talking. And they said, "Oh, what have we to do with thee?" And they said, "Hey, let us go down yonder and get them pigs and them swine." And Jesus said, "All right, I'm going to answer that prayer." And He loosed them demons out of that man and they went down there and got them pigs. And if you look at verse number 13, it says, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave." I'm glad we're going to a place where the devil and all the demons of hell are going to have leave. He said, "And the unclean spirits went out." I'm glad there'll be no unclean spirits. They'll be in control by Him. And it says, "And entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea." You see, that's what happened on the other side. It was a place, it's a picture of utter destruction. In Revelation it talks about it, not a sea of water, but a lake of fire. And it's burning with brimstone. And there's coming a day, friend, on the other side. At the final judgment, we'll stand there and watch the devil be cast into the lake of fire. I'm glad
said, I'm going to a place, friend, where the devil has no welcome. Never will there be another home destroyed. Never will there be another divorce or abortion. There'll never be another sinful battle that you and I face. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got in. Amen.
Number two, on the other side, there's a place where the devils was choked. It's also a place in verse number 26 where the distressed was comforted. You'll find in verse 26 was the woman with an issue of blood that says, she had suffered many things and many physicians, had spent all that she had and nothing was bettered, but rather grew worse. Can I tell y'all, sometimes we looking to get better down here, but it ain't going to get better till we get to the other side. Y'all hearing me? Before she got to chapter 5, she was in debt, had no hope, and had spent everything she had. She was getting worse. Her blood issue. She was a dying woman. And she was distressed. She was suffering. She was hurting mentally, physically. But in chapter number 5, ain't it good to know on the other side is going to be a place, hallelujah, where there'll be no more suffering and we'll be comforted from the things of this life. It's a place on the other side. The devils was choked and distress was comforted. But the disease was cured. Look at verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. You see, that's what happens on the other side. You'll find out what faith really done for you. Right now, faith ain't been turned into reality. But one day faith will be reality and you're going to find out the reason you're whole is faith is what got you there and it's a faith thing all the way. She was cured of her disease because he said, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. But that was in chapter 5, you see. That was on the other side. And if you notice, the disciples was there the whole time. None of them said nothing. And they got to witness everything that was going on in these people's lives. Let me give you this last one. I'll get to my message. Not only over there on the other side is a place where the devil was choked, the distress was comforted, the disease was cured, but death was conquered. Look at verse 42. And he charged them straightly. Watch this. Verse number 41. Says, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talikumai, which has been interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And I've often wondered if this girl of 12 years old is not the daughter of the woman with an issue of blood, because she had had that issue how long? 12 years. I don't know if it is or not, but it could have been. But this little girl right here, it says, and they were astonished with great amazement. In other words, it was in chapter number 5 where you see death had no more victory and no more control over anybody else's body. Brother Tybert, I'm glad I got in. I can tell you that right now, because if you don't ever get in, you ain't never going to get over there and see a lot of things that happens in chapter number 5. You're going to be stuck in chapter number 4 for all eternity, but you better be getting in if you're going to go over. Let me show you something here now. I got three little old things, and I'll be through. Watch your Bibles. Why is it in verse number 35, let me flip over. I left my specs up there and I'm still trying to do it without them and I might be able to. If not, Brother David, can I borrow your glasses? Thank you. Lord bless you. Now you can't see, but that's all right. She can see, and as long as she can see, that's all that matters. You're worse than I am. Let me try yours out, preacher. Let's see what they are.
Going to top.
Okay, yes. There we go. If I go to hacking, you know these things is what causes that when you preach. Verse 35, it says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Yes. Now, why didn't all of them pass over to the other side? Why didn't everybody go? They were some that didn't go to the other side. The only ones that went was His disciples. But now, I want to say this. Anybody that had wanted to have went across the Sea of Galilee in that boat could have went.
Amen.
Anybody. All they had to do is get on board. That's just like everybody in here. I don't know how many of y'all are in here or in this thing or just along for the trip or on it, or if you're sitting on the bank just hearing all about it, but you ain't never really made your mind up whether or not you're going to get in or not. I don't know, but I'd say there's probably some in here you've never really got all the way in. Let me say this. You can't get halfway in and halfway out. You're either all in or you ain't going over. And there's a lot of people. How are you going to keep one foot on the bank and one foot in the boat? So a lot of people, they want to stay part in chapter 4 in the world and part in chapter 5. They want to see chapter 5, but they want to view it from chapter 4. Why didn't they all go? Some of them didn't. That's a good question. I'm glad y'all asked it. I ain't got to read that verse again for this point because I remember it. It said in verse number 35, didn't it say, now, when evening had come. So, undoubtedly, Brother David, some didn't get in because of the time. I can see some of them, Brother Ken. There was no doubt Brother Jared out there on the bank. He's saying, let us pass over to the other side. I'd say some of them, well, that man's crazy. The Sea of Galilee, Brother Jared, has a reputation. A storm's coming up just like that. Bam! It can be fire weather, kind of like a Baptist church. It can be nice, good weather. And all of a sudden, here comes the waves and hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis and all that. Ain't that like a Baptist church? Sure it is.
Amen.
And they're thinking, at 4:30 in the evening, here it is in the afternoon, the sun's going down, and you want us to get on board that boat? Now listen, hold on, y'all. They ain't got no spotlights, no Duracell batteries. All they got is some torches. They ain't even got a boat motor. They, brother, are waiting on the sails to grab a little wind, and they got to go in the other direction. And it's going to be dark. I can see some of them now on the boat. He's crazy. I would get on. I would go with them. But I ain't going right now. No, now ain't the time for me. You know what I'm saying? Some saying that now ain't the time for me to do this. They crazy. Some people look at you and they say, you crazy. You going to board this thing right now in the middle of the night? Friend, I just want to go and tell you, it'll be well worth the trip. You'd be better off to board this ship and get in right now in the middle of the dark than to stay on the bank there in full daylight. Amen. And here they are. Might be some of y'all in here and you say, well, the time ain't right. If I had left this morning, I'd have probably got in, but I ain't comfortable right now. See, everybody's waiting until you get good and comfortable to get in it. No, if you waiting before you get comfortable, before you ever get in this thing, you ain't never going to get in it. No. Matter of fact, you get in when He says get in or you ain't getting in at all.
And there's a lot of people want to go to the other side, but they ain't really thinking about getting in. Just because you in church don't mean you in the boat with Him, friend. Hey, being in church don't make you a Christian anymore, and standing in your garage makes you a car. You better get in this thing instead of playing games with God, because sooner or later, the rope's going to be untied from the dock, and He's going to say, "Sail away." And the old ship of Zion is going to head out yonder to the other side. And we're going to leave chapter 4, and we headed to the land of chapter number 5. And we're going to another place.
And some, He's just saying, "No, it ain't the right time." If a man or a woman won't get in when He says get in, you'll never get in. And He didn't have... Hold on now. He could have said, "Come on, disciples, let's go to the other side, Brother Tybert," but He didn't. When He said, "Let us," He was letting that be known that anybody and everybody, it didn't matter if they was black, yellow, pink, red, orange people, it didn't make no difference. It didn't matter if they was Northerners, Southerners, Baptists, it didn't matter what their background was. It didn't matter if they was murderers or child abusers. It had nothing to do with their past. He gave it to everybody. He said, "Anybody and everybody, let's go on to the other side." In other words, He's saying this. You ain't got to stay. You ain't got to go over yonder if you don't want to. You can stay right here if you want to. And I've used this statement. I was preaching a meeting in June up in Ohio on Lake Erie, and there was a preacher there by the name of, I can't even remember. That's what happens when you get older, I reckon. And here's what one preacher up there said, and made a lot of sense, Brother Ken. And he said, "You know what? You ain't got to go to heaven if you don't want to go to heaven." And then he said this. He said, "You ain't got to go to hell if you don't want to go to hell." But here's the one that really nailed her home. He said, "But you ain't staying here." He said, "You ain't got to go to heaven if you don't want to go to heaven." And I'm telling all of us that tonight. And there might be somebody here lost. I'll tell you now, you don't have to go to heaven, and you ain't got to go to hell. But you can rest assured you ain't a staying here, friend. You're going to one or the other. But you're saying the time ain't right. But that's the only way over. See it? You got to get in if you want to go over. Number two, second point. Let me get to my glasses. Some didn't go over or go to the other side because of the time. Some didn't go to the other side because of the 12. Look at verse 36. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship." Hold on. Brother David, in my King James Bible, it said, Jesus said in verse 35, "Let us." Verse 36, there's the disciples running them off. Let me tell you why a lot of people ain't never going to go to the other side. It's because of those that are going. We're doing more to run them off than we are to get them in it. We're running more people away. You may know why? Because of our tradition and my seat and my church. And we ain't got room. Anybody could have went. But God help me to never be one of them. That's running people away from getting in on this thing and not letting them go to the other side. Can I say this as a preacher? I've done a lot to run people off. Thought I was right, Brother Mike. Brother Barfield hit it the other night. When he started talking about negatives and positive, when you looked up negative in the dictionary 20 years ago, that was a picture of me. No, I wasn't smiling. Daddy used to tell me, when I first started pastoring, and he's here tonight, so it ain't a lie. Daddy would tell me, he'd say, "Son, I don't understand what you're doing." And I was like, don't understand what I'm doing. He said, "You go out here, you knock on doors, you invite all these people to come to church. You tell them how Jesus loves them, He wants to save them. You get them to come to church, and the first thing you do when they get there is you run them off."
Yes. Listen.
Brother Ken, that hit me right between the eyes. And that got me down in the goose. When I, Daddy, I thank you for helping me, because that showed me my negative, bad spirit that I had, not trying to help nobody, but I thought my job was to straighten everybody out and get all the women in dresses and get all the men in suits and get all the teenagers to burn their britches. I thought that was my job, and if you didn't do it, you wasn't going to heaven.
Yeah. Good preaching, Brother Jody. Preach it.
To the point to where I had some that come to my church that if I wasn't half mad when I was a preaching, they didn't think I was a preaching, Miss
Rose.
That's right. I look back at the people that I've made mad, and I'll never have a chance to help them, and some of them ain't in church to this day because of my stupidity. Me getting up there acting like some kind of dictator with my finger pointing at them, using the pulpit as a whipping post, and I run more people off back then than I ever got in. Now, let me ask all us this. All of us in here at Liberty, are we getting more people in than we're running out? How many are we making it easier for them to get on board? Or are we doing more harm by sending them away? And if you'll notice, there was a multitude there that they run off. How many have we run off? I'm just preaching, Brother Ken. How many have we run off? Brother Tiber, you're up there at Liberty, Kentucky. Been there at your church many times. How many people are we running off? Let me tell you who's to blame for most of this. It was the men of God that was supposedly following Jesus. They were the ones guilty of running everybody off. And then we complain when we ain't got many in our church. We wonder where everybody's at. Well, I don't want to come get the fire beat out of me every time I go to church. I know I've sinned. I know I've done things that ain't right. But my goodness, when I go to church, give me a little something that's going to help me to want to do better. I mean, I know I've said things I ought not say, and I know I've probably done things I ought not do. But when I come to church, I don't need a man of God to get up there and all that's all I'm going to hear. And God help some people, I don't see how they stay at some outfits. I don't see how they stay there. And the men of God and the people in the church is doing everything in their power to make it hard for them to stay there. Liberty, what are we doing to make people want to get in? They didn't do a thing to make them want to get in. They just shoot them off. It's sad when they run them away. They run them off. Get out of here. We going over yonder. Y'all ain't going. Could y'all imagine that? Let me give you my third point and I'm done. Why? Some of them probably didn't go over to the other side because of time. And you might be here tonight and you might not be in, and it might be because somebody else has tried to run you off. But let me go and say this. Just because somebody may be trying to keep you from getting in this thing, they're not the ones that have the authority. Jesus is the one that said you could go if you want to. You got to look over what somebody else is saying and them trying to shoo you away, and don't rest on them. Don't bank your eternity. You can still go to the other side. Just walk on by them. That's what you'll do. Somebody trying to keep you from going to the other side, and they trying to shoo you away, acting mean and all this. You ought to say, just bless God, I ain't a going to hell. I'm a going to the other side. You ought to say, get out of my way. I'm a getting in this thing whether you like it or not. I'm a going to chapter number 5. Yeah. The third reason why some didn't go over to the other side, I believe, was because of their territory. Now, I don't say it here, but if you'll back up and read up to this part, you'll see where they're at. Where they are, they're in Capernaum. And they're getting ready to leave, and they're headed across the sea to go to Gennesaret. Capernaum. The meaning of the word Capernaum in Greek is this. It's a place of repentance or comfort. Has a double meaning. So in other words, repentance is a turn from sin. Part two of repentance is a turn to God. It's a twofold deal. Repentance is turning from sin and turning to God. It's not coming down here and confessing it. Confession and repentance is two totally different things. Confessing is admitting it and telling it. Repentance is saying, I ain't doing it no more. I'm turning to God now. And then there is a comfort that comes from that. So Capernaum is a place of where they do no wrong and they're satisfied with their self not committing any sin. And they live in that territory. So there is a lot of people today that says, I don't do nothing wrong and I'm satisfied with the fact I don't do nothing wrong, so I don't need to get on board. I'm comfortable right where I am. I've already repented of my sin. I don't do no sin no more. And so therefore, I'm good enough to, I'm all right right here. And there's a lot of people living their life like that, and they're going to sit right there on the bank of Capernaum, sitting there in your thought of, I don't do nothing wrong, and I'm comfortable with myself right where I am, and one of these days, Jesus is going to get on board. And He's going to say, guys, unloosen the rope. Thrust us out a little. And when that ship leaves land, she ain't never coming back. And you'll never have another opportunity to get on board. We'll be headed to a place where the devil will be called a loser and kicked out. Where suffering and sin will be no more. And death will be conquered once and for all. But you got to get in if you're going to go over. And I definitely wouldn't let the time or the 12 or the territory keep me from getting in. Let's all stand.